And welcome back to Cinema Vino. This is an episode filmed much later, even though we are, strangely enough, wearing the same clothes.
Not that you can see, because we're not filming.
Exactly.
Wait. You didn't take your pants off?
We have an animator animating this as we go, right?
Which would be awesome if we could do like a full like animated episode. I think, or like Crank Anchors, but we're all puppets.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, hey, you know what? There's not enough puppets out nowadays.
I agree.
So we're all here, guys? Is that Sean Jordan?
That's me.
And Taylor Owens.
Hey. Travis Bud.
Travis Redacted.
Present.
Mm-hmm. Trav.
And yeah, we're drinking a little Spanish red. This is the, hold on.
Spanish.
This is the Olivares. Another Rioja. Another nice little, to me this one's much bolder.
Link fruitier. In the description below.
Spicier.
That is red line the recording over here. It's a nice big Tempranillo Garnacha. So bold, fruity, delicious. It's like the Fig Newtons that are like a mixture of fruit and cake.
Mm. Yeah. Why don't they make alcoholic Fig Newtons?
So for this episode, we're gonna talk about
Jesus, Sean.
Another.
You can follow us on TikTok.
We might be drunk. I'm not sure. The jury's still out.
Find us on OnlyFans.
Cam Soda.
Yeah.
Chatterbait.
So we're going to take a look at Steven Spielberg's 1989 movie, Always, which we drew last week. And it's a movie I've always had a weakness for. Steven Spielberg, my favorite director of all time.
Who?
Steven Spielberg.
Cool.
And
I hear he goes by Steve.
Yeah, he is often referred to as Steve. And it's weird because it's like I always hear the people like Tom Hanks and Harrison Ford interviews refer to him as Steven. So he must like to go by Steven, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But so it's one of his lesser movies. It's kind of the barometer that people use, like when he makes a movie like War of the Worlds and you read a review and this is his weakest film since Always.
So this is the bottom of his spectrum.
It's either this or 1941 is looked at as one of his weaker films.
Did he directed the one with Tom Cruise?
War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, which is another movie. I would love to go back and look at Spielberg's lesser movies.
I would too, actually.
And see, because it's like, I enjoyed War of the Worlds when it came out.
I did too.
It got horrible reviews. It was seen as kind of a disappointment for the ambition of it. It was supposed to be like the next Independence Day, like huge.
Yeah.
But I
would like to go back and do some of those old ones, like the Keanu Reeves, Day the Earth Stood Still, mm-hmm. and the original. So I'd like to see the original.
Compare the two.
Or a side-by-side with Signs. I always confuse those two scene-wise, like thinking back in my mind of like which scene was this scene from. Is
from
that
War of the Worlds
or was that Signs?
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed Signs a lot when I first watched it. I enjoyed it less the second time I watched it. It diminishes every time.
Yep.
I think all of M. Night's do that a little bit.
Always was based on a 1943 movie called A Guy Named Joe. So that was a World War II movie. Basically, take the plot of this movie and sub out the firefighters for pilots, like war pilots.
So this is a remake.
It was also based on a story, right? A book or a short story? I thought I saw that in the credits for the movie.
I think it was just based on the guy named Joe. I could be wrong. You might verify that.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, because it's like... whenever Richard Dreyfuss and Spielberg made Jaws, they both said this was like their favorite movie and they quoted it back and forth. And so eventually Spielberg commissioned these writers to do a modern version of A Guy Named Joe. And rather than make it set in World War II, they updated it to be firefighters in the mountain country, you know, fighting forest fires.
Were they Idaho? They're talking about Boise, I think, a couple times.
Mm-hmm. I want to say it was either like Montana. It was like the Yellowstone,
Oregon,
area.
Montana,
somewhere,
Idaho,
pine
somewhere
trees,
in that
mountains.
Area.
Yeah, I don't even know if they're specifically trying to give an exact location.
Yeah,
they reference Flat Rock, Colorado, so that they, you know, that could be like somewhere in that area.
Yeah, that was the Academy for Flat Rock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. But I always enjoyed it for some reason. It's kind of like the Sky Captain, where it's like you have these movies, you don't know necessarily why they always draw you. But I always enjoyed that movie, and I've gone back. I had it on VHS I had on DVD, and that's the ultimate testament, I think, if you buy a movie twice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I could always go back and watch it. And so basically, Richard Dreyfuss is like this firefighting pilot. He's the loose cannon, wild card, like, you know, takes chances.
Hotshot pilot.
Yeah. Which is interesting because he's middle-aged in this movie, which is unusual.
Yeah.
Usually that's the young guy.
And he looks and sounds like Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah. Richard Dreyfuss. And it's like, usually in the World War II movies, that's like the young guy, like the up-and-comer that's like, you know, the kid.
The maverick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's an unusual thing to have, like, the guy with silver hair be the crazy guy with the death wish. Usually, you know, you mellowed out of that by the time you're... Holly Hunter is his girlfriend who is frustrated with him that he's...
Tremendous mullet.
Yes. Yep. She definitely has a late 80s hairdo. She wants him to settle down, get out of his crazy ways. And John Goodman is the best friend sidekick.
He's the goose. He's the co-pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And
both Holly Hunter and John Goodman, excellent.
Yes, they are.
John Goodman's great in every flick.
Yeah. He does a great job in this. Yeah. Great acting, I thought.
Yeah.
But spoiler alert, I don't think it's even a spoiler because they say it in the trailers. If you go back and watch the trailers, Richard Dreyfuss is killed
in the first act.
Yeah. He takes a chance, but he actually saves John Goodman and saves his life in flight, but dies in the process.
Which, how jarring of the death scene was that? Where he's just like, oh shit, my fuel line's on fire. Boom!
Sees the engine, yeah.
Yep.
Which I thought great cinematography in this movie. I believe this was Michael Solomon, who was Spielberg's cinematographer for a few movies in there. I want to say he was for this in Jurassic Park, but it's a good looking movie. Great special effects and cinematography, great aerial effects. So that's the thing about Spielberg. Even his bad movies still look really good.
Yeah.
But so he's killed and ends up in the afterlife with Audrey Hepburn, which this was her final role that she ever did before she passed away.
Named Hap.
Mm-hmm. Hap. And so
I knew a Hap.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch Kid Would Be King? Terrible Jesus. Movie. And so they go to the afterlife, and so Hap says, you need to go back, basically, and serve as an inspiration to this new guy, played by Brad Johnson, who, you know, he seems like kind of a lunkhead. I don't know if that was deliberate, but he seems like kind of a vacant character.
Yeah, he's not super likable.
He's not nearly.
Like, eh, he'll do.
He's a bit of a cheeky, like, kind of dumb flyboy who just, he flies pilots, but you know, he doesn't really, like, do anything substantial.
No.
And that's weird because he is, you know, all the other characters are so colorful and so broadly, like, big, like, well-drawn that... You know, his character seems very stale, staticky, and uninteresting as a love interest for Holly Hunter. But so Dreyfuss goes back, and he's supposed to help mentor Brad Johnson's character. And basically, it's like it's set up in the film where people die, and if they're, you know, worthy or whatever, they go back and help somebody up and coming. But they're always like a whisper.
A guardian angel, like a voice over the shoulder.
This is specifically, like, for pilots. Like, that's something that... That extra intuition that you have up there. It's just like that guiding light. Your sixth
sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she says, well, somebody gave that to you. Now you're going to give that to them.
And I'm like, good job, motherfucker. I died. Yeah. Like, can I see my fucking angel that was on? Like,
yeah.
Because, like,
what is his annual?
Where were you on that one, bitch?
Yeah. Yeah. Where's his peer evaluation?
Yeah.
And so he goes back and mentors him, but then. So Brad Johnson's character falls in love with Holly Hunter's character.
Yeah, which is Dreyfuss's ex. Or, so, well, you know, late girlfriend.
Yeah. And so Dreyfuss has to watch them basically fall in love with each other. And he can't do anything about it. So it's him.
He actually actively helps at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tries to hinder it first, and then it's like, oh, I got to let go.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Learning the lesson.
Well, because that was the whole thing that happens. Like, anything you do now for yourself is a waste of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's you're doing it for no reason. You're dead. Like, you're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah.
You're not going to clap those cheeks again, but we're going to dangle them in front of you.
That's the tagline on my book.
That's real. That's so real.
So real.
You need
the story of my life.
You need to write log lines for, like, actual, like, studios. Like, okay, here's, I read this one. It's about you can't dangle those butt cheeks anymore. So just.
You'll never clap those cheeks.
You'll never clap those cheeks.
We'll dangle
again.
Them in front of you.
Nope.
Got a 10-inch Pringles can. So basically, I saw it always, man, maybe that's why it connected with me. It was like a reversal of like grief, moving on, letting go. It's like you have to like, you know, it's like how Richard Dreyfuss has to let go and get out of Holly Hunter's head. And so in a reversal, it's like she has to like let him go and get him, like she has to allow him to go, basically.
But he also has to help her let him go by kind of like coaching her and her love interest through moving on past that grief.
Yeah.
And John Goodman helps, you know, push that plot line along because he finds her. He's like, fuck this. I'm not going to let you sit here and wallow and just, you know, live day to day or something. We're going to give you a good kick in the ass. The first 30 minutes, I thought, were the best part of the movie because they were establishing all the characters. Because I remember even hitting the time button. I was like, how far are we in? Like 30 minutes. And then you got the rest of it's because it's right at like 2 hours, right?
Just it's about a long movie.
They do a great job because they give you a chunk of 30 minutes to know the characters, see all their interactions, see them, you know, and good, bad.
You get comfortable with the dynamic.
Yeah, you don't just see boy meets girl, boy loses girl, whatever. That's what I've heard is the greatest plot line ever. Boy meets girl, boy finds girl again. Yeah. But you get to see they don't have a perfect relationship. They have all their weird ass like ups and downs, and you have a full on romantic comedy in 30 minutes of time with the best friend.
And they even did like the whole like, oh, I just have one last flight, flight, and then we can be safe and we can be flight instructors in Flat Rock, Colorado.
Yeah,
and of course he fucking dies on that last flight because.
And she, you know, never hears that he tells her that she loves him.
Yeah,
or
he loves her.
There it is.
Yeah. And but then it reverses that at the very end where she goes on one last flight and he has to help her through that so that she can survive and be with
which horribly was way more irresponsible.
But it was way more interesting him helping her out because you're like, oh, I like both these characters than him like with the lunkhead. And I'm just like, fuck this guy.
It's hard to root for
this guy and his perfect hair.
Yes.
This guy can go. And she did say, she was like, oh, my, you know, I'm going to leave you. My next boyfriend, he's going to be tall, handsome.
You're exactly.
Like, oh, Jesus.
Foreshadowing. And that's what I never got that as a kid until I went back and watched it later. I was like, okay, so that's foreshadowing that she's going to go for like this kind of hunky Marlboro man guy later who's the opposite of Richard Dreyfuss in every way.
Horrible John Wayne.
Yeah.
He's got like 3-pack of certs in his pocket.
A 3-pack.
Yeah.
It's girthy.
And
pack of Rolos.
But it's interesting because it's like when the guy that she talks to, she rubs in his face like this is going to be the guy. He makes a move on her. She's not interested because he's not Richard Dreyfuss. It's like the irony of like she doesn't want him when she can have him.
John Goodman is so charismatic. Like such a good actor. So good.
I love him. He's always a great supporting character. You know, he's never a great leading character, but
have you seen King Ralph? You fuck right the fuck off.
This is a sensitive subject, Travis. King Ralph.
Oh boy.
You stepped on the King Ralph landmine.
All right. Yeah. It's still not released on Blu-ray, but when it is weird.
No, it is in Japan.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a domain free.
Region
3.
Region 3.
Region 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get yourself a translator and you are set.
Yeah.
My point is, he always plays a great supporting character. You know, he's always a good supporting actor. Yeah.
Unless he's playing a future King of England. In which case, that's solid.
You know, I hate to say that. I never really thought about that. Like, Goodman is like, I love his acting. But, like, even his most recent stuff, The Righteous Gemstones, he's not even the main character in that. I mean, he is the main focal point of the show, but he's not the main character at all.
But
and that was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I never really thought of that.
He's add to cart. Oh, wait, you're right. It is version 2. Well, fuck this. All right.
Surely it comes with
you're right. We've had this conversation before.
I just love that. I would like to think that John Goodman sitting in his chair, just laughing when like people are calling, like, "Hey man, we gotta get a region one." He's like, "Pay me more."
Yes,
he's like,
but yeah, you learn Quebec French. You got that DVD down pat, man.
Well, I guess Quebecois? We can do a DVD.
Quebecois.
No,
what?
Oui.
Yeah, just learn Quebecois.
Oui.
Which we went to. It's now been 3 years ago. We went to Quebec. And yeah, we learned all about that, that the different, this is way sidetracked, but it's like the difference in, like, you know, French, like the French they speak in France and the French they speak in Quebec.
It's kind
of
like,
you can't Spanish. Even buy a DVD of King Ralph?
We're deep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so Prime Video, enjoy $4 of rental, but yeah. Cool. That's go back.
Upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did you just rent it?
Okay. just now?
Yeah.
We need the Reddit campaign to get on this and build them up. Where were we?
King Ralph.
What is this movie?
King Ralph.
Yeah. Always?
We're talking about Always. Okay, let's get your guys' opinions. Okay, we'll go around the horn. Trav, we'll start with you.
I think he's deep.
Oh, God. I was looking up John Goodman's Twitter. Look, what else is he doing?
Trav is currently getting blocked.
What has he been up to?
So, you were right. It was not based on a short story, but it was that other movie. But I thought it was based on a short story. But A Guy Named Joe, 1943. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Spencer Tracy.
Yeah, so I'm interested in watching that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I took a film class in college that was literature as film. We watched the most bullshit, bougie, like, short stories and then watched the film. I really thought we were going to do, like, Harry Potter or one of the Lord of the Rings books or something cool. It was all bullshit. But what I'm interested in seeing is, like, what the original film is, what this Always took from it, mm-hmm. decided to keep, decided to change, and why that change was either better or worse than the film that came before.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was great. Again, I thought the first 30 minutes was the best part. I thought I had seen another film like this, but not The Guy Named Joe, but something with, like, a ghost that was trying to help somebody land a plane. And it might have been a weird TV movie, but you said this trope has come up several times in film.
Air Force One?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy off my plane.
It's like there was a ghost in his ears, like, yeah, tell him to get off your plane.
Yeah.
Ghosts on a plane? Samuel Jackson?
Mm-hmm. These motherfucking ghosts.
Like, I thought it was
great. I'm tired of these motherfucking ghosts.
The end didn't really do it for me. I was expecting something else.
The end was jarring.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was. I mean, it was great that Holly Hunter hopped in the plane to go off and do the final thing, because that was, it gave it more gravitas. It was, it's, you know, much better than the lunkhead dude that nobody gives a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
But and then she lands and all that stuff. But John Goodman did a great job in this. So did Holly Hunter. Richard Dreyfuss was great. But those were the two standouts for me. I liked all the characterization of those three characters. The other guy sucked.
He was out of his league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was a lovely film. I watched it with my pop. He's a pilot or a former pilot, and he loved it all. He was, you know, pointing out all the planes and telling me all the behind-the-scenes shit that I've since forgotten. But he's very knowledgeable. But I got to enjoy it on another level too, watching with him.
Cool. What did he think of the piloting, like the aspect of that, like the all the jargon and all that? Did he like that?
Yeah, most of the jargon, but he would watch some things. He was like, "Well, you can't do that in that plane." It was like that plane will not perform that maneuver.
And they do stuff like fly through trees and like all kinds of shit.
Yeah, he was like that wing is not going to survive that hit. He was like that's. Yeah, you're just going to shear it off.
Planes are mostly just like fiberglass. Like, they don't hold up to it.
Yeah, one of his favorite things is like, that's Hollywood. Because he'll see something and he'll be like, well, that's Hollywood. That wing is gone. That's out.
And to me, this was like the classic movie where it's like, you kind of have that sentimental side or you don't. With a lot of it, it's like that. It's like you're either going to go along with all that crazy aerial, you know, acrobatics or you're not. It's like you're either going to get along with the romance idea of this or you're not. It's kind of like Sky Captain where it's like...
It's the suspension of disbelief where you got to kind of like put yourself in a Hollywood mindset and just say like, I'm just going to go along with it. It's not going to be accurate, but like, you know, I'll enjoy it.
You kind of have that romantic side to it. It's like you're either going to buy into that or you're not.
I would have thought, and you know, I'm not a pilot, but I thought if they were flying over a forest fire, there's enough hot air there. Like, obviously, smoke can get in the engines and fucking them up. But there would be enough hot air that would easily help lift a plane, especially after you drop your payload. after you drop all that weight, he's like, yeah, because my dad, during one time, where it was like, oh God, you know, pull up, you're not going to pull out of that dive. And he's like, bullshit, she just dropped a fuck ton of weight. That, and that should be an easy pull out of that dive. But yeah.
And I really enjoyed her elbow maneuver where she like got both elbows like in front of the yoke and just like pulled up with the arms.
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of strength. Okay.
So those were my thoughts. Go.
Okay. Yeah. I thought, first of all, there was a lot of khaki in this movie. Dreyfus wore a khaki jacket with khaki pants with a Oxford shirt.
I think a khaki ball cap, too, at one point.
That was his outfit the entire movie. When he was a ghost, that was his outfit. Can you imagine, like, being a ghost, seeing another ghost, being like, oh, yeah, he's from the late 80s. He's wearing all khaki.
Well, not only that, but, like, Audrey Hepburn, who is the ultimate fashion icon. And
is wearing, like, a sweater?
Cinema history. It's like she is, like, the ultimate, like, chic, like, hip. It's like, you'd think if she's playing the Guardian Angel, it's like, no, we need to get all the Dockers off of you, man. Let's
let's find the least sexy outfit for Audrey Hepburn.
Like, let's get you something you can wear, like, that's a little less, you know, preppy. Yeah. A little less dorky.
Yeah. No, I think the aesthetics of this movie were very dated. I mean, Steven Spielberg, it was very much like, you could tell this movie was made in the 80s with, like, 80s aesthetics. There was mullet, you know, just so much khaki, so much khaki.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And my uncle is a flight instructor. So I also have that side in the back of my head, just like, oh, that's not possible. That's
my
not
dad could beat up your uncle.
You know what?
Let's do it live.
Oh, that is
let's,
a podcast.
Let's do this. No, let's have a prize fight.
That's a live podcast.
It's like this week on Cinema Vino, we're going to have
pilot fight
tryouts.
But, you know, for the movie, I kind of understand why this is like the bottom of his spectrum. Like, this is, you know, what everyone compares against, saying like, oh, it's the worst movie he's made since Always.
Yeah.
Like, it was a good movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, which he's a great director. Anything he touches is great, but like, this was kind of just flat. You know, every single move they made in the movie just didn't hook you.
Yeah.
It was like everything was just sort of, you know, each move was like, it was like, oh, like she's going to take over the plane at the end. She's going to be the one that's going to save the world. But you just spent the entire third act and the second act just like getting involved with this lunkhead character, like seeing him develop as a pilot, seeing him grow as like, Dreyfus has been the voice behind him the entire time, like teaching him how to become a pilot. And you never see the payoff because she steals his thunder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're never on that dude's side either. You're like, yeah, fuck this guy. Because you like Dreyfus better.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you're always cheering for Dreyfus because he's the main character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
he has so much more character. They've shown you he's got a personality. You know how he's going to act in certain situations. He's just a smarmy.
They spend the first act investing in him as a person.
Yeah, and they do it very well.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of discard that in the second and the third act.
Because, but I wonder if this film is not as popular because it is so, like, emotionally heavy. And it deals with, like, grief and death and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's not a subject that people super love.
Like, it's almost like you don't deal with it because you're seeing it from the supernatural side where you're seeing him as a ghost in the afterlife. Like, you see that life keeps going on and you see that he's still just hanging around as a ghost. Mm-hmm. Like,
you still see Holly Hunter and you know, Goodman's grief.
But you have him there reassuring her the entire time, being like, right, it's okay, I still loved you. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go date this lunkhead because I'm letting you go.
But it's like, is he reassuring her or is he messing with her head of like,
yeah, he's kind of manipulating her a little bit,
which is, I mean, kind of like the nature of grief sometimes where it's like, it plays games with you where it's like, you don't know what to think or feel.
Which, can we talk about that scene where she manipulates Lunkhead with the mashed potatoes that she totally doesn't make? Mm-hmm. She basically like goes and
lion sack of shit.
She just throws flour all over the kitchen and she's like,
puts it on her face.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, let me go freshen up.
Very effective use of yakety yak, by the way.
Yakety yak, don't come back.
Also, I will say that I'm a movie soundtrack nerd, and this John Williams. And so,
what's this John Williams? I thought this was Danny Elfman.
Oh, this was John Williams.
Did not know that.
Yeah. And so I have the soundtrack, and it's like, it's one of those soundtracks, it's, to me, it's kind of like the movie where it's like, it grows on you. And it's like, it's one of his more quiet soundtracks. It doesn't have a lot of the big Jaws, Indiana Jones type stuff, but it's a great, like, you know, kind of fantasy, like sound, like romantic fantasy, like soundtrack. It's very good. I mean, it's like, it's one of my favorites of his. I can always go back and listen to
it. I'll have to listen to it again because obviously I've just seen it once and I didn't notice Sky Captain until this is probably the fourth or fifth time I've seen it. And I'm like, you know what? This soundtrack is dope as shit. Mm-hmm. And then I took another look. So it's worth another listen.
It's a very quiet. It's like, you can see, like, for example, it's like, you notice like when Richard Dreyfuss is walking with Hap, you know, Audrey Hepburn, it's like you don't notice it, but it's like you listen to the soundtrack, it's like that's a great little like piece of music that's playing in the back. It's very quiet, but it's very effective. It's like it's perfect for every scene. So yeah, for soundtrack nerds, I would recommend that soundtrack very highly.
It's a good soundtrack.
And again, it's like it will reward many listens.
Tate, do you have any weird questions for us? I know you didn't watch this film, but has us talking about it, has it made any sense whatsoever?
Has it piqued your interest?
Yes, and to be quite honest, I should have Googled it more. I actually saw this in a film class myself. And this would have been like in maybe two decades ago. It was ought two, if not ought one. But I was just kind of going through some photos, and I was like watching, like, oh, I've already seen this. Mm-hmm. And I don't, because it was about 20 years ago. I remember it being good, but I remember the most thing I remember is
glowing review.
Is I remember, I honestly, I didn't remember John Goodman being in it.
Yeah,
I just remember Richard Dreyfuss the entire time.
Richard Dreyfuss.
And and I was just kind of looking through some stuff. I'm like, I've seen this movie before.
Yeah,
I'm upset I didn't rewatch it, but I do remember thinking at the time, like, what a weird scenario. No, granted, I would have been a very young hua at the time. Like what a weird, because at the time I didn't know it was a, you know, quote unquote remake or whatever. I just thought it was very strange.
Yeah.
But I do remember I really liked Richard Dreyfuss. P.S. I kind of like Richard Dreyfuss. I kind of like him. I was like, a lot.
Yeah.
And so I was just, while you guys were talking, I was just going through, I'm like, fuck, I've seen this before. I know I have, because it was the whole afterlife kind of thing, and like, you know, well, from what I remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I now I feel like I have to watch it.
This was kind of a comeback role for him because he spent several years away from Hollywood for rehab and drugs, and because he Dreyfuss fell hard into cocaine use. He was the classic like $2,000 a day like cocaine habit that nearly killed him, and so he. Mid-80s, he went away for a while to go into rehab. And so this is one of his first movies back after he came back from rehab.
You know, you got to say it, too. It's like with a film like this, like, you just put Spielberg's name on it, and, you know, you probably had to take it.
Yeah.
You know, regardless, you know, he said people kind of bash the film. And it's like, but I guarantee you people probably, when someone says, hey, Spielberg is having this movie, do you want to audition? Like, you got to say yes.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
He's redoing West Side Story, which is interesting. That's his next film.
I saw that.
And that's, because, and that's one of the movies, it's strange because that won, I think, like 10 Academy Awards in 1960. Best Picture, you know, Best Supporting Actress, Best Director. It's like, that's one of those like big, you know, monolithic movies. It'll be interesting to see what he does with that. Yeah. It's like, that's...
Yeah, if you can't add to it, then leave it the fuck alone. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what he does with that. But also, like, you know, you don't see musicals made that often anymore. No. So, you know, like you say, he's got a lot of skill, a lot of good people behind him. So maybe it'll be really good. I don't know. I'm hopeful. But like I said, Spielberg, you got to see it if you're a movie fan.
Yeah.
You know. But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino, talking about Always.
Hoi.
Trav, Tay, Sean.
Hey.
Thank you all very much. And next time we'll be talking about Gargoyles, season one.
Oh, are we doing that?
Already.
Honestly, if we just watch the first four episodes, like, my nipples will be complete, like, for this lifetime.
We're cutting diamonds in this bitch.
Actually, we're going to talk about Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, the Hardak episodes. Heart of Steel, parts one and two, and the sequel, His Silicone Soul.
Great. I wrote my thesis on those, so let's do this.
Yeah, I'll get my dissertation. Yeah. But we thank you so much, and we will see you next time. You can listen, rate, subscribe to Cinema Vino, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at ToddWoffordMovies.com.
Did you see the video of what's his name? Danny Pudi interviewing with Larry King.
That's not a real name.
Pudi. Daniel Pudi.
Todd just did a spit take.
Oh, the guy from Community.
Yeah, yes. Danny Pudi. That's his name.
That almost got me.
I'm on.
Almost got me.
Where Larry David is like, no, like, what do you enjoy? What kind of like nice things do you enjoy? And he's like, I don't know. Like, what do you mean?
Like a yacht.
And he's like, I don't know. Yachts, planes. He's like, I like a nice running sock. You know, I really like socks. And he's like, no, what? Not socks. What
a kind luxury.
Of, a luxury. Like, you know, planes or cars. And he's like, Larry, I'm on DuckTales.
Yeah. Like, how much do you think I make?
Hold on. I just looked this up.